Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome aboard!
Ahoy!
It is I, Ryan Buckley, one last time behind the microphone. Now, I'm not gone yet. I will be in my back in my normal producer chair tomorrow, but Isaac out the rest of the week, and Suk kind enough to open this chair for me. One last victory lap around the studio as I make my last 2 days here at Odyssey before taking a new gig.
Do you realize that this may be the last time you ever host anything?
That's right.
Because you're moving into some big wig producer. You're like, what's your official title over there at Coin? Your sports?
Executive sports producer.
Which sounds made up, by the way.
This I know, sounds more important than it really is.
This sounds like something Jason Swigard would brag about. I'm the executive producer.
Here's the situation.
I'm over there. Now you're over in the land of TV where, like, you don't have to do anything but be handsome. Adam Bjornsson and your banana fingers, I'm looking right at you.
Well, and that's why I've always been behind the camera when it comes to television. Never wanted to be the upfront guy, nor does anyone want me to be that.
This could be the last time anyone hears your voice. You could just this is it. This is the swan song.
I will
and then
say
you just disappear forever.
I will say the brand man Dusty Hara left the door open for some fill in work in the future if I were to be interested.
Oh, of course, your wife's not going to let you do that. You're telling me you're going to call the missus who we all know is in charge of you, and you're going to be like, "Hey, honey, I'm not going to get paid, but I'd like to go and do this radio show."
Yeah, I have the day off, and Suk's got an open spot. You mind if I go over there? Yes, I mind if you go over there.
Something tells me that's not going to happen. I'll see you. Like, because your kids are what, four and two? Yeah, I'll see you in about 19 years. That's about the time that you'll be allowed to come out. I've been trying to get Ryan Buckley to come drink with me for 3 years, and it hasn't happened
yet. We might do that tomorrow night, though.
I know why. I know why that's not happening. And it's not going to happen. Your wife listens to the program. I think I'm one of those, quote, bad influences.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. You haven't influenced me enough to be a bad influence yet.
I think she fears Turkish bathhouse buck. I think she's aware of your previous life.
Yeah.
And it's like a Frank the Tank situation. When you leave the house, is she now Ryan?
Yeah, she's heard
enough. We don't want bathhouse Ryan coming back, do we?
Yeah, she's heard enough frat house stories and things like that where it's like, yeah, I don't need you up to your own devices just with your buddies every so often. But
and by the way, that's not a terrible thing. I have said many times, I should not be left unsupervised. Left unsupervised, problems happen. And if you leave me unsupervised with someone that is used to being supervised and now isn't, that could be problematic. That could be that's a country song waiting to happen at that point.
Yeah, that's why I usually get that out of my system. A couple of boys' golf trips a year for a full like weekend away, and then come back to the domesticated life, as it were.
Well, yeah, you're a house husband at your core.
You thought I was leaving to become a full time house husband.
I did. Now, to be fair to you, me and Rob, who is still probably deported at this point, no one knows. The National Guard's here. Helicopters are overhead. He's got a Mexican street dog, probably here illegally. No one knows what happened. He's been bagged and shipped somewhere. We don't know. We're hoping he returns on Monday if we can get his immigration status figured out.
You know what? There's an event coming up in Portland that I think he potentially could be helping organize, and we'll get to that in the news. That's a little tease for you.
But me and Rob have been saying for months that you are a short timer. I want to say it was...
You've been telling it me to my face.
Yes. For months and months and months. I'm like, dude, you are not going to be here. And I think we had I don't remember if the over-under was Christmas or New Year's. I don't think we ever went Thanksgiving. But I think it was either Christmas, the Christmas break, or maybe New Year's. And by the way, we both had the under. And here we are. We're not even at Halloween.
That's
except
right.
I assumed at this point what was going to happen is your wife was just going to be like, yeah, we're not doing this. Like, we're not paying for any more daycare. Your ass is coming home. And that you would be behind the scenes. I can see the conversation. Well, honey, I mean, it kind of doesn't really make sense to me to work. I mean, with what we're paying for healthcare, and who knows who's watching the kids nowadays and what sort of influence they have. And it's almost a wash if I just stay home. And next thing you know, dude, you're living the dream. You're putting in Barney DVDs you know, you're having cereal at 10:30 in the morning and you're in your natural state of being a house husband.
So the funny thing about that, and just kind of a brief history here, how I ended up getting here was because I really wasn't about that life.
You were a house husband.
I already tried the house husband ways, and it wasn't for me. So for those who don't know, I produced the morning show, Dusty and Cam, when I first started working for 1080. That would have been back in like 2018, something like that.
Yeah.
Did that for 3 years, and then ended up leaving to go back to television with NBC Sports Northwest, which seemed like a great thing until they were not able to secure the Blazers rights deal, and they closed their doors about 10 months later. So that left me without a company to work for and without a job. And it was right around that time. That happened like 4 months after my first was born. My first son was born. Yeah. And so it was like, well, the timing of that's actually pretty good. I've got a couple different like freelance production things lined up. So I'll mostly do the dad thing and I'll try to make a little extra money. And I did that for a while and it was okay. And then I think I started coming back here to do just Ducks postgame and an occasional fill-in stuff. And I remember one of the days I was filling in for Mike Lynch, and Mike told me that he got the Blazers gig, the Blazers radio gig, to host pre and post game before he left. And I was in the old studio at McAdam with you, and I remember you leaning back in a break and saying, "Do you want the gig?" And I wasn't really even considering it. And I was like, well, I don't know, maybe. I mean, you guys want me? I don't know. And things started to materialize. We moved buildings. I started being a kind of regular part-timer for you guys. And then the situation finally opened up. And I needed something to do. And I'm someone that, as much as I like, you know, like the freedom and autonomy of like being at home, working from home, setting your own hours, I like the structure and I like being out and being with people. And I like coming to an office. And so...
Well,
that
especially
was...
with your wife not letting you go out after hours, you know, once the wife comes home from work, you're not allowed to go out. So, yes, I would assume you wanted to get out and have some adult conversations.
Off the leash, to speak.
And we've loved having you. Now, that being said, you realize what happens when anyone leaves this place. They come back.
Well, this place is like the Hotel California. Yeah. You can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave.
You were here, and then you were gone, and you're back, and you're going to leave. Something will happen over at Coin, and, you know, we'll get a call, like, I don't know, a year and a half from now, and you'll be like, "Hey, guys, just letting you know if there's any sort of opening, you know, something happened. Bjornson got pissy with me, said something about his frosted tips and his giant fingers. Next thing you know, I'm back at home, and brains turning to mush, so if there's any opening, you'll be back producing the show.
If I can cut some more fart drops for you, and maybe some Isaac, you know, vulgarities, I'd love to do that.
Yeah, this isn't a goodbye. This is a we'll see you later. You'll come back.
And we'll talk a little bit more about this later, but I have really appreciated the opportunity. I grew up on Sports Talk when all my friends were, you know, listening to Eminem and Limp Bizkit. I was listening to Sports Phone 680 in the Bay Area. Sports radio has been a passion of mine for a long time. I was stunned when 3 weeks into my job as a producer on the morning show, Luke asked me to come in and fill in for Will Darkins on The Sitter and Saint. I'm like, 3 weeks in and I can already host radio here? How does that even work? And then the opportunities have just continued to come, and not just from management, but from yourself, from Isaac. Anytime there's an open chair, you guys willing to put me in front of it and chop it up with the two of you. And I still remember when we were talking about me coming on as your full-time producer, and you asked me what I wanted to do, and I said that I wanted to host, and that hasn't happened, and that's okay. But you also said, you know, producing here, you're going to be the third most listened to voice in Portland. Mm-hmm. That's what you told me, and I hadn't really thought of it or framed it in that way. And this is a show that has meant so much to so many people long before I got here, and hopefully will for a long time after I'm gone. And I'm really grateful to have been a part of it.
Well, we enjoy it, so hopefully we get a couple more days of this. But we wanted to make sure you had one more chance to sit in that chair before you have to go. Just, I don't know, yell at Bjornson for 4 or 5 hours. I don't know what TV. It's weird because having done this, like I've been doing this for now like 23 years. Basically half my life has been spent doing this. I mean, certainly
that's
more than...
That's crazy.
Well, I'm 40, so I'll be 47, and I've been here for 23 years.
Splitting it right down the middle, yeah.
Yeah, and when you consider like my adult life, the vast majority of my adult life has been spent here.
Yeah.
And I've dabbled in TV. And I will say this for all the TV people out there. I respect what you do. It certainly has its own unique challenges. The difference between doing TV and radio is the difference between winning at Jeopardy and winning at Wheel of Fortune.
100%.
Chess and checkers, if you will. I still remember the first time, like, doing, like, TV. Like, I used to do the Pac-12, like, After Dark stuff.
Sure.
Right? We do, like, and so when the last Pac-12 game was over, I'd go on the old...
Pac-12 Network?
You know, the Comcast Sports Night.
Oh, sure.
And I would do those shows with Jordan Kent, and I remember one of the producers, I remember Adam, like, being in my ear and being like, hey... We're short on this. We don't have the package, the highlight. Can you fill some extra time? And I'd be like, yeah. He's like, all right, just, you know, if it's too much, let me know. We can do something. Can you fill a minute and a half? And I remember laughing, being like, what did you just say? Can I fill a minute and a half?
It's unbelievable. I worked in TV before, like, I worked in radio, and you'd think these people who are, I mean, sometimes. All different shapes and sizes, but sometimes you do really get the Ron Burgundy types in news and in sports news, and it's like, well, unless it's all right in front of me, exactly what I'm supposed to say, like, I'm just supposed to freewheel this? Are you
kidding
me? Damn
it, who put a question in the teleprompter?
Yeah, well, but yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. Like, in TV, everything is so tight and so structured, it almost paralyzes some talent to have to kind of riff for a little while, and... Even when I was interviewing for this job over at Coin, the news director asked me about the differences between producing radio and producing TV. And I'm like, dude, those are two completely different conversations. they have nothing to do with each other.
Not at all. And like I said, I certainly respect the TV people out there. You were born handsome or beautiful, and that gave you a giant leg up, because it certainly helps to be of that ilk. I was not born that way. I was born this way. But whenever I've had to do TV, it's fascinating to me when they're like, man, we've got 2.5 minutes. So, you know, just make sure, you know, you pace yourself. You're like, wow, 2.5 minutes. So now you're entering that world of TV. So shave the beard, you know, you start, you know, combing the hair and, you know, go be one of the beautiful
people. That's the thing is, I won't be, I don't anticipate being on camera much or at all, but I think my days of just wearing a hat every day are probably behind me. I'm going to have to figure out a regular hair product routine.
You're going to have to wear collars now.
I know. I was telling my wife that today.
Old,
I'm like,
old dingy 49ers shirt isn't going
to
cut it.
I'm like, I might have to go down to the outlets this week and get some collars. She's like, you really don't have enough? And I'm like, well, I mean, I've got a couple things, but you know, I think I have to wear that stuff every day now.
Yeah, I've never had to actually dress for a real job.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Travis Matthew polos will be fine, bro. That's all.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, you get the golf polos going.
Schultz with the Travis Matthew, the boy. I love the man who's the idea of like, don't worry, I'll dress it up. I'll put on a Travis Matthew polo. Let's head over to Costco. Buy myself some Banana Republic Costco slacks, get a Travis Matthew polo. I'll be good to go. I'm ready for funerals, stuff. Weddings, work, you name it. I love that look.
I have so many memories of great anecdotes and moments on the show, and it's one that you go back to frequently. The buddy of yours who was like reconnecting with someone over Facebook after like 20 years and was really trying to impress, and he wore out his like Carolina Panthers polo and his lawnmower shoes.
Dude, just blew my mind. Yeah, I was dating this gal, and her boss, she worked at a bank, was saying that like this was like a childhood sweetheart sort of thing. And they had both recently been divorced, and so they were kind of reconnecting. He lived a couple hours away, but he had moved closer. And so they were like, she wanted to like introduce us. So we went like on a group date and went to a nice steakhouse. My man showed up in literally grass-stained sneakers. And yeah, he was wearing like a golf, like quarter zip pullover when he took it off, Carolina Panthers polo. And I was like, yeah, someone's getting laid tonight.
Nothing says I'm ready for a long-term relationship with the love of my life like a Panthers polo.
And I felt so bad because he like got up to go to the bathroom, and she's like, what do you think? And I was like, I don't think you want to know.
it's what's on the inside that counts.
Well, I was impressed enough with the Cutter and Buck pullover that he had, but yeah, it got a little warm and he took it off, and I was like, yeah, golf polo, not just golf polo, Carolina Panthers, the finest of NFL polo shirts and the shoes. Just, and by the way, not like overly grass, just enough. Just a touch of that green bottom.
Where you can almost convince yourself these are still my nice shoes.
I will never forget that. That man, wherever you're out there, God bless you. I hope you're listening to this program somewhere and just know that on that day you earned my undying respect.
Well, we will do a sports show today. We'll probably get off the rails a number of times, as we tend to do here. No Dan Lanning today. Usually he'd be at 4 o'clock, yeah. But he is on the recruiting trail. We'll still talk a little bit of Ducks football. We were talking earlier in the week about Oregon, not maybe QBU, but the fact they had the chance to have 4 starters in the NFL weekend. Looks like that's going to be 3, but I saw another mind-blowing stat about another school. We'll get to that. Proof that kids are staying in college too long, how Portlanders are responding to the troops in our city. And, yeah, we got some other stuff cooking, but that's where we're going to start. We'll get into a little bit of baseball, some baseball oddities, a good day on the diamond today. And we'll do that next. Primetime, 105.1 The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Primetime, a Buck and Sook edition. Schultzy kind enough to join us on the other side of the glass today. Schultzy, big day or big weekend coming up for your Mariners. How are we feeling?
Excited. ALDS game 1. I will be there on Saturday. And can I just say, shout out to my dad. He sprung for the flex package for next season, so we could hopefully get access to some ALCS tickets once they go on sale here tomorrow.
Love it. Yeah. So, Papa Schultzy.
I am a little disappointed, though, in one thing.
No headband today?
No headband. Like,
sorry, bro.
I mean, we're talking about dressing up, dressing down, and I feel a little awkward staring at Schultzy right now. You want to talk about being dressed down? No headband, and I would hope that when you go to the game, the headband is on.
The headband will be on. I don't know if you saw Tark Skubal doing his interview after game 1 for the Tigers, but he had a 2025 postseason Tigers headband on, so I'm like,
oh, you're fixing foaming
at the mouth.
You?
I'm like, all right, I'm gonna buy 2 of those for the Mariners.
Although I will say, as a I am not a Mariner fan, I am a Mariner supporter. How about that?
Okay.
Right? Well, I mean, the only baseball team that I truly pull for is the Mets. And then I try to always root for hometown teams. And I know that's, you know, Mariners are the closest thing we have to a hometown team. So I support the Mariners. As a supporter, I didn't want to see Detroit. I would have much rather seen Cleveland. And I get the fact that Detroit has crapped the bed. I don't want to see Skubal twice. When you're in a series and you've got a guy capable of shoving a ball sideways up the old keister, Madison Bumgarner style, and I get the Mariners have great pitching too, that dude is...
Avoid him at all costs.
I just don't want anything to do with him.
Yep.
And so neither one of those teams should scare you, but with Cleveland having 2 of their better pitchers suspended for gambling charges, and yes, one team had a monumental class, but one team for 3 quarters of the season was one of the best teams in baseball and has arguably the most dangerous arm in the game, I would have rather have seen Cleveland. The Mariners shouldn't be afraid of anyone in the American League.
No.
That roster is as good as anyone's. I don't know. They're not the best. I don't think they're the best team because there's teams in the National League. I think they're the best team in the American League. I've seen too many times in baseball where one guy made the San Francisco Giants were not better than the Kansas City Royals.
No, one guy was. Yeah.
And he actually
the others
won.
Held it together kind of, yes. but he went out and he won 2 games by himself and he came out of the bullpen to win a 3rd.
Yes. And that would be the one thing if I'm a Mariner fan that scares me. If you got a guy that can go out and give you 7 innings and give up 1 run, all it takes, and we've seen this so many times, it takes 1 3-game, 4-game slump of your offense,
mm-hmm.
and you're that's why postseason is so
everyone starts gripping a little bit,
yeah.
Things get tighter.
It takes just not even a 3 or 4 game slump. It can be 2 or 3 because if Skubal plays out of his mind and gives you 2 wins and your offense goes cold for even 1 or 2 other nights, all of a sudden you look up and you're like, crap. And that's why I just like, I'm not cursing anyone. I think the Mariners have to feel sky high, but you're sitting around, you're waiting, and here comes Detroit that basically has been having to play for their life now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I would have rather seen the Guardians if I'm a Mariner fan.
I feel the complete opposite of you, actually.
Yeah.
I absolutely am excited that they're facing the Tigers, and here's why. So Tark Skubal went game 1, almost 110 pitches. Mm-hmm. If the Mariners do have to see him a second time in this series, he ain't going to be fresh. And this entire Tigers lineup is full of young guys, you know, like Dylan Dingler hitting 15 home runs, Riley Green. Like, they're good, but they're not great. And frankly, if I look at that pitching staff compared to Cleveland's, I don't want to face Hunter Gaddis. I don't want to face Cade Smith. The Mariners getting walks all season doesn't really come into play here in the postseason. I'd rather face Detroit's shaky pitching staff as opposed to the Guardians. So for me, I'm excited because you're basically going to see Skubal on the road, and if you get him to a game five, he's going to be pitching like 4 or 5 innings maximum, and it's going to be at T-Mobile Park. I just see the Mariners, yeah, they would roll over either team, but I'm so much more excited to see them face the experienced Tigers.
They'll roll over either team.
It's a good time of year to be confident.
The cock of the walk over there, they're just going to roll over.
Nothing bad could
happen to the Mariners in the
postseason. Talk your talk, man. This is the time.
I love it.
Let's talk a little bit of playoff baseball currently. One of the other things I saw, Mariners related, I'm sure Schultzy saw this as well. I don't know that this has been done in the past for other teams, and if it maybe they have, and I just haven't been aware of it, and I saw it because it was in the local market. Mm-hmm. Mariners and the Brewers did this too. They were hosting scrimmages at their home ballparks while wildcard teams were playing games, and so they opened those scrimmages to the public. I can't remember if it was free to get in or if you had to pay $10,
but proceeds went
nominal
to a
fee,
local charity.
Concessions are open, and I saw some video from it. I saw Cal Raleigh go yard in it, and it was a really cool environment because it just... We talked yesterday about the entry point of getting into a playoff game, and there are going to be so many people that don't have a chance in hell at affording the gate fee to get in there, and I think it's a really cool thing that franchises who aren't playing wild card games are like, you know what, let's find a way to include fans that want to be part of this, and it looked like there were a few hundred, maybe 1,000 people out there, and I also saw they had Ichiro Suzuki playing right field for the scrimmage. That dude loves ball more than anybody, but I don't know if it's a new trend in baseball. I thought that was really cool for fans.
Yeah. Well, and just across the board, when anytime you get fans involved and you see it with, and do we credit the Raptors for doing the outside the ballpark?
Oh, yeah, the Jurassic Park thing. That's what they called it. But theirs kind of made it famous, but now it seems like a lot of teams are doing the, hey, when we're on the road, watch along in the big setting with us.
They do it at home, too.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. They do do it at home. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, it's for all of the big games. Like a ton of hockey teams do it now. I think anything like that is cool. The Padres have something like this even during the regular season. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen... So the Padres games all sell out.
Yeah.
Like it's a huge fan base. And in center field at Petco, mm-hmm. it's kind of a low, you can kind of see into the stadium. And so they have this like family area where you're in the ballpark, but you're not really.
Is that with like the grass and the sandbox and all that? Yeah.
And you can like, and it's pretty cheap.
It's almost like being like a GA at a concert or something like that.
Yeah. And you can't really see much, but there's a video board and it's just... You know, when you're down there and you can't afford a ticket, you can kind of go and mill around out in center field and you're kind of part of it, but you're not. So I do think more and more teams are kind of embracing the either, you know, the tickets aren't available or not everyone can afford. I mean, the cheapest price for this to the get in is like, what, $300 for the M's?
I think that's right.
That was face value. Or sorry, the face value for buying it directly from the M's was 300 level, 190. Yeah, and that's
if you were able.
You say 390?
No, 190
for 300 level.
For the 300 level, but then, yeah, if you have to buy it right now, secondary is like 260 or 300.
Yeah. So, you know.
Per seat.
Yeah, so you're talking two people. I mean, you're five bills.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's cool that more and more people are, more and more teams are finding creative ways to have fan engagement. I'll tell you what, if I had a family of four, I can't, like, what do you do?
No, but for $40, all four of you can go to the scrimmage if you want and feel like you're
exactly.
a part of it. That's
exactly.
a great
$40
great
bucks,
deal.
You're there and, you know, Ichiro's out there playing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, all the stars are basically taking their hacks. Like, you get a little taste of the playoff fever. It's great.
And I think that's really cool. And I don't, there's no place really down there around T-Mobile where you could do maybe at one of the breweries across the street. There's really no...
Like central, like
no,
square or
no,
something
there's
like that.
No,
yeah, like plaza.
You know, yeah, T-Mobile doesn't have a plaza. There's a parking garage, and then across the street, they've got, I don't know what that little brew house is anymore. I know that's changed a couple times. There's a strip club.
Do it there.
There's a strip club right there. There's just a couple of restaurants. There's really not an area where you could do a big gathering outside to have like kind of a party. But like, if we ever get back to meaningful games at Moda Center, you know, they got a courtyard there. You can do something cool.
You can definitely
there.
Do that.
Yeah.
Get like some musical acts to play during timeouts, stuff like that.
Yeah. I like the idea of I don't know what that strip club is up in Seattle, but yeah, get some of the gals out there, know? Shake it a little
is
bit.
Is that Showgirls? Is that the one you're
talking about? I think it might
about?
Be. Yeah, it's like right across the street, basically.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, just get out there, get out there, have them shake it a little bit, get them in how about this? Something for the kids. Maybe some, instead of face painting, we do some body painting, out there, get the kids out there painting.
Mariners logos all over there.
Yeah, painting the Mariners logos on there. You can do a big dumper sort of thing out there. Just kind of have some fun with it.
Definitely big dumper tie-ins. Yeah, you could have a big dumper contest.
Yeah.
Dad, what's under the compasses on her body? I don't understand.
You know what's funny is I have a buddy who lives in Spokane, and they're from the Seattle area originally, and he wanted to take his family and his three boys out to a Mariners game. They hadn't been to one. They were like, 5, 7, and 9 or something. Yeah. And they got a hotel right by the ballpark, and they're like, the middle child like opens up the blinds of the window. It's like right across the street from Showgirls. And he's like, Dad, what is that place? What do they do there? And he's like,
the first time my kids were big. We grew up because they grew up being hockey fans. That's what we watched at my house a lot. And so when my daughter, I want to say for her like 14th, 15th birthday, something like that, she had never been to a pro hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, closest one is Vancouver.
Yep.
So for her birthday, we were like, we'll take you to Canada. And she was into the Blackhawks at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Blackhawks were playing up there. It was the Blackhawks and the Red Wings playing back-to-back. And I was like, we're going to...
That's great.
Yeah, so we'll go up there. So we drive up, same thing. If you've ever... Vancouver's a very walkable city.
Yeah.
And everything's right there.
It's a really cool city if you've been.
So we get a hotel, we walk to the game, and we're walking back. And sure enough, my daughter... Vancouver is home to a lot of late-night massage places.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's... It's like 11:30 at night, and we're walking by, and there's like two across the street from each other, big neon lights, whatever, massage. And my daughter goes, dead serious, looks at me and goes, Dad, she's like,
doesn't it seem kind of late for a
she's
massage?
Like, why are there massage places open at 11:30 at night? And
well,
I kind of smiled. I looked over at my wife and I was like, well, you want to handle this one? She's just looking at me, and she's like, I started laughing. She's like, what's Dad laughing about? And I'm like, I have Mom explain that one. That's like, I don't think you want a massage, honey. I think those are the massage parlors that you're should have just said, like, hey, why don't you go in and knock on the door and see if you can go grab one of those real quick.
See what kind of services they're offering,
see,
huh?
See what they're offering up for, say they're not for you. Say it's for your dear old dad. He's just sending you in to see what's up. I'm sure that'll go over real well. We've all had to have those awkward conversations.
We certainly have. I have some baseball oddities that we did not get to there. We can probably get to here. And also a Elimination Thursday update. One game already in the books. Another team already out in front. We'll talk about that next on Primetime. But first, Schultzy has the SportsCenter update. That's right. The heat is on.
The H is O. Thank you very much.
Wait, is that the shorthand for name of the song?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sales guy here that loves. There's an SNL sketch where
I clearly was missing a reference here.
Will Ferrell plays Glenn Frey.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know, like, this is Glenn Frey after they left the Eagles.
Yeah,
and Glenn Frey did nothing other than he had this song on the Beverly Hills soundtrack. And there's a whole sketch where Will Ferrell plays Glenn Frey, and he doesn't want to talk anything about the Eagles. Or he just wants to talk about the heat is on, or as he likes to call it,
the H is
O. The H is O. So I referenced it on the show like years ago, and one of the sales guys heard me. And so now every time he sees me, he's like, hey, Sook, the H is O.
That's so lame.
So whenever I hear that song, all I think about, like, Will Ferrell is one of those guys that whenever I hear Robert Goulet, mm-hmm. when I hear anything that song, Harry Carey, I don't think of Harry Carey.
You think of Will Ferrell.
I think of Will Ferrell doing Harry Carey.
Hi. Mm-hmm.
a nice cool Budweiser.
Is the moon made of cheese? I think it is.
It's just so that's when you dropped the I don't know why that song came on, but
it's in the rotation, man.
Yeah.
Well, boys, the heat is not on. The H is O, as we like to say.
So let's see, who is the heat on in the playoffs? Right now, the heat is on the Padres. They are trailing to the Cubs. I think it's still 2-0. Don't have a score bug up right now.
2-0.
Yeah, 2-0.
We know for sure that the Tigers are on. Discuss that.
Oh, yeah, 2-0. Sorry, 3-0. That was the one from me yesterday.
Okay. So Tigers are through to play the Mariners. The winner of this Cubs-Padres series gets the Brewers.
The Dodgers get the Phillies.
Right. Dodgers and Phillies are set because Dodgers won last night. They close out the Reds. And baseball is one of those sports where we've seen it a million times. We've talked about it on this show. Any given day, you could see something that you've never seen before. Mm-hmm. Something happened in that Dodgers game last night completely unimpactful to the outcome of the game, but I kind of had my mind blown by it. There was an incident in which they made a pitching change in the middle of a count.
Yeah.
Did you see this?
I did.
So
I got home and I was turning on my, like I said, the BTJ loves Ohtani, and I was watching it and they were bludgeoning him, but then all of a sudden, like anytime the Dodger bullpen is involved, you're kind of sitting there being like, oh my God.
Yeah, it could get squirrely.
Is this because they were, it was like what?
So
eight to two?
Yeah, I've got this situation here. It was already 8-4. Okay. It was top of the ninth.
Was that Sherman guy or whatever?
Yeah,
that was in.
Emmett Sheehan. Yeah. Sheehan. So it was top eight, 2-1, 1-out, and the Dodgers pitcher was pulled mid at bat with a 1-2 count.
Dude, he was on the verge of disaster. He loaded the bases, I think, with no one out.
He was doing like the old Ankiel thing where he didn't know where the ball was going.
Dude, he was all shaky, dude. I was like, are they gonna botch this? And Dave Roberts just kind of left him out there.
Mm-hmm. But usually you'd let the guy finish whatever battery's on, but he had seen enough. So he's like, no, we're gonna move on. Mid count, super uncommon, both for the guy leaving the game and for the reliever coming in who already has to work with a count that's in progress. Well, that move was countered by the Reds manager, who then decided to pinch hit in the middle of the at-bat.
Yeah.
So what ends up happening is that Alex Vesia comes in to pitch for Emmett Sheehan, and then, Will Benson comes in to hit for Miguel Andujar, and Vesia strikes out Benson. Vesia gets the credit for the strikeout, not Sheehan, but Benson, who was removed because he got two strikes on him and got replaced by Andujar. He gets credited for striking out, even though he didn't take the third strike.
Yeah, they were trying to explain that on the broadcast, and it was like,
I'm not even sure I explained that right.
No, it was a weird, like, who's on first, what's on second sort of thing. I was like, what the hell
but
is going
four
on?
Four players involved in one at bat, and only two can get credited with the pitcher of record and the hitter of record.
Basically, a hitter struck out against a pitcher he never faced, is what you're saying.
Kind of. He took one. That's right. That's correct.
The Dodgers, we've been told all year that the Dodgers are going to wake up, and when they do, that's the best team in baseball. And they bludgeoned the Reds.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, that's two games where they've been up
big
and they've gone to the bullpen
and it's been a disaster.
And I guess they were saying that they don't really want to use any meaningful relievers in these games because they were up so big, and so maybe these guys aren't going to be the ones, although they said that Sheehan guy there were actually counting on to play a big role in the postseason. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're a Dodger fan, be grateful you're scoring 8 or 9 runs a game, because jeebus,
you're gonna need it.
That bull. And by the way, Ohtani is gonna go game one.
That's right. I saw that today. Yeah, he's gonna pitch game one against the Phillies, and that's gonna be in Philadelphia.
Yeah,
really excited for that one. And then
that to me is my series. No offense to Mariner fan, but
gonna have a lot of juice.
Phillies Dodgers. That's as good as it gets right there.
Yeah, and no offense to the Brewers, who had an amazing season, but the Phillies and Dodgers might have the two best rosters in baseball.
Oh, and it's just, it has such juice to that game.
Yep.
You know, with Philly fan and Bryce Harper and Schwarber.
Sluggers on both sides could be high scoring. Yeah. You've got really like ace rotations on both sides.
And bullpen for the Dodgers, no matter what the lead is, you feel like the Dodgers are going to choke it away.
Yeah. Yeah. And then tonight, we've got the winner take all in the AL East rivalry series between the Yankees and the Red Sox. Yeah. That one coming up at, I think, 5 o'clock tonight?
5 o'clock.
5 or 6?
ESPN.
Yeah. So.
And by the way, let me state for the record, suck it, Yankees. Go Sox. I don't even like the Red Sox, but outside of the Astros, I don't know if there's a team that I would root for, or I guess root against if they were playing the Yankees. Yankees, Astros. Go Yankees. Other than that, eat it. Eat it, Yankees.
I know you're a movie guy. I saw something last night that I don't know if you've seen before. Bull Durham, one of the all-time great baseball movies.
I have seen Bull Durham no less than 30 times in my life.
So then you'll remember this. Or maybe you won't. It's a small detail, but in the opening credits, Susan Sarandon's getting ready her vanity.
Yeah.
And there's a baseball card stuck in the mirror there.
Yeah.
And
she has a little, it's like a shrine sort of thing.
Yeah. But she's got one card that's kind of stuck in the mirror. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been revealed what that card was.
Yeah.
It is the very manager of the Atlanta Braves who got fired yesterday. It is Brian Snitker as a minor leaguer with the Durham Bulls. So nice. Someone was able to match up that photo, and the one that they had in there just for whatever it was a Brian Snitker baseball card.
Oh, my God, dude. I mean, I love
little stuff. Easter eggs.
I love Easter eggs. Tarantino does this a lot.
Uh-huh.
If you go through and watch all of Tarantino's movies, there's little thing like... what is it? Like the cigarette brand.
Oh, okay.
I think they're Red Apples.
Okay.
Like that makes appearances in a ton of his movies. He likes little things that kind of connect it. I love stuff like that. That is so cool that someone zoomed in on that.
And they're like, wait, that's a real guy. It's not just and then it happened to be the now fired manager of the Braves when he was managing in Durham for the Bulls.
There is a, now I want to go get that card.
Yeah.
I want to see if that's out there on eBay. And that's one of those things that I have a little like kind of tchotchke shelf.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't collect memorabilia. I find it silly, but dumb crap like that, that doesn't cost, like that's the sort of stuff that I think is cool. There is this was the best one of that where like you, now that you have like, you can freeze frame and like and zoom stuff in there, in Point Break.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I love Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves are near and dear to my heart.
Yep.
In fact, my daughter 1 year for my birthday got me a autographed photo of Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze skydiving.
I love that photo.
And she has it. So she got it signed by both of them.
That's so cool.
So I have that's on like my nightstand and everyone's like, really? I'm like, it's for my daughter, but I love that I have that. So there's a t-shirt when they're playing the beach football game.
Uh-huh.
And Patrick Swayze's wearing this old beat up, like Harley Davidson shirt.
Okay.
And I always wanted that shirt, and there's something on the back of it.
Okay.
And I was always like, I've seen that movie a million times. And a couple years ago, it happened to be on TV, and I realized you can go frame by frame.
Uh-huh.
And they never really show Swayze from the back. But when he's getting tackled into the waves, there's a great shot where you can freeze frame on it, and you can see. And it's a leather shop. It's a Harley Davidson t-shirt.
Okay.
And on the back of it, it's a like a motorcycle leather shop from like Wisconsin. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And there's a number on the bottom and everything. I called the shop and they were like, and I was like, this is going to be really weird because they didn't have like an internet presence.
Right.
There's not a website.
Yeah.
But when you Google the number, it does pop up.
It's a 90s movie.
Yeah. And they're like, yeah, they're like, that's us. And I was like, dude. And they're like, yeah, so cool. They're like, every now and then, like someone calls. And I'm like,
I was wondering if you were the first one to make that call, no. If others had done it too.
Yeah. She's like, no, every now and then someone calls. And I'm like, do you guys sell that t-shirt? And she goes, well, we don't sell that exact one because we don't own the Harley logo, but we sell that shirt that has, it's like a bat. She goes, it has the bat on it, but instead of having the Harley logo in the middle of it, it just has like our logo. And I'm like, but it has your back on it and everything. She goes, yeah, it's the same shirt. And I was like, how did that end up in the lady was the nicest lady.
And did she know how it got in there?
Dude, they've been there for like 70 years. And it turns out it's one of like the stunt coordinators from the movie was from that area and had that shirt. And Patrick Swayze saw it. And thought it was like kick ass.
You pull the thread a little bit, and it's cool these stories you get.
Yeah, and so they were on the set, and he was like one of the stunt guys who was putting all that together. Swayze saw the shirt and was like, "Dude, that shirt's awesome." And the guy's like, "Okay." And it was all beat up like that. It was kind of like a half shirt. Swayze wore it, and she said, "Every now and then, you will get someone that reaches out." And I reached out, and I trust them, and they sent it to me, and it was like $25 or sure. Whatever. Problem was, is like I ordered it was not a double XL.
Aww.
I still have the shirt, but it's like
it's meant for a smaller Sakana.
Yeah, it's a double XL. I don't know who that's a double XL for, so I can't wear it, but it is there in my house.
Yep.
I don't know. If someone ever wants that shirt, it is more like it's more like a large. But I love stuff like that when you find little Easter eggs. That is so cool that that was
Brian Snitker, Durham Bulls manager from whatever year that was.
I freaking love that.
Well, I was going to get to a little bit of potential March Madness expansion coming up next, but now we're going to have to get into Buck's very own Point Break story. One of the first times I ever worked with Souk, I told he and Rop about the time that I played Johnny Utah in a made-for-stage version of Point Break. We will revisit that.
Give me two!
We will revisit that when we come back. 105.1 The Fan. Welcome back to Primetime. No Rop today. No Rop for the rest of the week. Well, this is a sports show, but we'll be talking about Point Break for the rest of the hour. So one of mine and Souk's favorite movies, both of us, I can't remember the first time that I saw it, but always loved it. I thought it was like the best combination of like cheesy action with like good heist. You got the iconic masks of the bad guys, the concept of this like washed up football player becoming a undercover surfer. It's just, it's so bad. You probably needed mounds of cocaine in the room to get that made in the 90s, but like it somehow it worked. And it's fantastic. If you haven't seen it, go do that. Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze, Gary Busey. Is there better Holy Trinity in action? I don't know that there is.
No, there is not.
But when I was living in San Francisco, and this is now probably like, I don't know, 15 years ago, there was a cool thing going on at the Metreon complex, which was just south of Market Street, kind of near the water in San Francisco. And it was a building that had like movie theaters and arcade and restaurants and stuff like that. But they had a theater there, and they brought in what I think was like essentially like a traveling show for a couple weeks at a time. And it was Point Break Live is what it was called. And so basically it's a bunch of actors going to turn this movie into a play, which really doesn't work on a stage because it's surfing in oceans. It's jumping out of airplanes. It's like chase scenes in cars. They're like, it's not adaptable whatsoever. And that's part of what made it great. So they would do like the bank chase scenes, like through the audience, and they're like jumping over people, and they're running around with super soakers instead of guns. And so they've given everybody a poncho at the door. People are getting wet, and they're selling 12 packs of PBR at the door. So it's like a weird surf party environment. Yeah. And the way they made the show special every night is they had crowd auditions for the lead role of Johnny Utah. And I got tickets for me and my buddy and his girlfriend at the time, now wife.
I would go see this show 17 days in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
until I got to be Johnny Utah.
So my roommate and his, I was kind of always like third wheeling with my roommate and his girlfriend. And I said, so here's the deal. I got all three of us tickets to go to this. And if I can get the part of Johnny Utah, then you guys have a date night without me being part of it. Yeah. And so, but I promised I would go do it. Yeah. At the start of the show, they ask who wants to be Johnny Utah, and they invite everybody up on stage. So there's like 20 people that go up there. And and first they made you deliver the line, "Hi, I'm Johnny Utah." Yeah. And I added a little extra sauce on it, and I said, "I am an FBI agent!" And that got the crowd on my side a little bit. Then we had to do a second line that was, "Are we going to jump or J-O?" And from the skydiving scene, I ended up getting the gig. They put me in a wetsuit that was a size medium or large, so I was like a sausage in a casing. Yeah. And then they have all of my lines just on cue cards, and the whole time the ensemble cast is just trying to F with you. Like that's like the purpose of Johnny the production, and it's hilarious. And like my friends are loving it, and the crowd is loving
it. Is this still going on?
I don't know if they still do this. It's been so long. I don't know if they still do it or not. There's an intermission and everything where I went in the back room with these. All the actors were like people who were trained in theater, but were like legitimate surfer bros from Santa Cruz. And so they're like sparking up J's and like drinking malt liquor in the back during intermission and stuff. It was a whole thing. But the real excitement came for the skydiving scene where they were going to throw me off the stage in a harness. And so sure enough, we get to the point where it's time for me to jump, and they toss me off the stage and I just land on three people. Oh, I goodness. Do not go soaring around in the air. They didn't get the clamp. Like, it didn't latch. So they thought I was strapped in. The dude was probably drunk hooking me up to it, and they literally tossed me off a stage like 8 feet into like three people in the front row's lap. God. I crushed them. They're trying to pretend like, "Oh, no big deal. We meant to do this." Then they have the gall to actually link me up and then send me out over the crowd. So dude, that was my Johnny Utah point break
that
experience.
That is the greatest thing that has ever happened. Like, when you die, that should be what your brain remembers.
And then I went and went out for drinks with the cast afterwards.
You don't understand. All I want in life is to live that experience. One of my dreams is that because of this stupid show, and I've gotten to do a lot of cool things because of this dumb show, just once, I want someone making a movie or a TV show, I don't care how low budget it is, I just want to be a goon. I don't need to act, but you're telling me when you watch those John Wick Point Break movies that I can't...
You could be one of those guys that gets killed in the first 20 minutes.
Right?
Yes.
Like when you watch
you
that...
You got the look.
Yeah, Point Break, there's that one dude, Rosie, that's just wearing like leathers and he doesn't surf. He's just the white trash biker.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me you can't put me in a tank top and a headband and I don't look menacing? You're telling me in John Wick, I can't pass as a random like Eastern European gang member that's about to take a... That's all I want. I don't need any speaking lines. I just want to be killed. Just in if someone's making a movie out there and you need a goon or a henchman, speaking or not, I just want you to know I'm available.
So I did a quick Google search because I was hoping I could find this production for you. And I'm like, oh my God, they've got shows in Portland.
Dude.
And I fired it up. It looks like they've last been here in 2017.
Oh, God.
So I can't confirm whether they are still in production.
My go-to line would be Utah, give me two.
Hold
give
on
me two.
A second here. Now,
I'll be Gary Busey. I don't even need to be Johnny Utah. Make me Gary Busey.
Oh, so they were in Portland. Like, I'm on their website, and it looks like they had this running in L.A., San Diego, and Portland, dude, but I can't figure out when it stopped running.
That's amazing. Yeah. You do. Someone said you need a memoir, and yes, you do.
That would definitely be included. That was a fun
whole
one.
Chapter dedicated to that.
Let's see if we can get back on the sports track coming up next. No Dan Lanning this week because it's Ducks bye week. I've got some Ducks football thoughts. Also, some stuff going on in college basketball. Do we really need a bigger March Madness tournament?
No.
Maybe we won't discuss it next on The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.